The EPA recently issued a ruling that a Samsung washing machine must be regulated as a pesticide. As a pesticide? Well, it's because the washing machine, the SilverCare model, claims to kill germs by injecting 100 quadrillion silver ions into each washload. The wastewater would be released into public water systems, and there have been questions about the safety of widespread nano-silver use. Joining me now for the third of today's underreported segments are Dr. Jennifer Sass, senior scientist in the National Resource Defense Council's Health and Environment Program, and Dr. Samuel Luoma, senior research scientist at the U.S. Geological Survey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
Jennifer, can you explain more about how a washing machine can be classified as a pesticide by the EPA?
Well, it would be nice if somebody could explain it, but I would say it defies logic. EPA Pesticides Office, their first stab at trying to avoid regulating nanosilver was to call the nanosilver, which is in the washing machines and released into the water as a biocide to kill germs. They called it sort of like a tool, like a fly swatter. So that was their first attempt, as if it's like a fly swatter or a mouse trap. But then they were criticized for that decision. So they came back and they said, okay, maybe it's a little different than a fly swatter. So we're going to regulate it. We're not going to regulate it as anything specifically nano. We're not going to recognize it as nano. But we will regulate it as a biocide because they do regulate antimicrobials, and it is released into the water to kill germs.
Well, what do all those nanosilver particles do, Sam?
Well, silver has long been known as a toxin, a powerful toxin to microbes and to bacteria.
Really?
Just
a regular metal?
Yep. Matter of fact, the story goes that people used to use, one of the reasons that silverware was attractive was because silver was a little cleaner to use in terms of health. That's anyway an old wives' tale. But I think that with the new technologies, the new ability to manipulate things at the nano scale, has allowed the development of polymers and coatings and incorporating silver into fibers, all kinds of different uses where this antimicrobial property can be put to use for various reasons. Wherever we want to kill bacteria, it seems like we have the capability now of incorporating silver. I think one of the issues, of course, is where we use this. For example, in medical uses, there might be some actually extremely beneficial things that could be used that probably have low potential for risk in terms of dispersal to the environment or threats to humans. Things like silver bandages perhaps are a very beneficial use. On the other hand, there are a large number. There are now 280 products. The Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars is doing a study of this that I'm working with, and there are now some 280 products that have incorporated silver in one form or another, not just the wash machine. And many of those involve the potential for quite a bit of dispersal into the environment or killing silver on human skin or ending up in the waste loads that go to the water bodies around us.
Jennifer Sass, would regular silver particles work just as well as nano-silver particles?
Well, let me answer that question in two parts. The easy answer is yes, but what people like about the nanosilver, what the manufacturers like, is that it works even better. So because at the nanoscale, molecules have such a large surface area for almost no volume, they're very much more chemically reactive. And that could be a good thing when it comes to an antimicrobial. It could be a bad thing because nanosilver kills everything, not just its target bacteria. So once it gets into the water in your washing machine, it eventually goes down your sewer pipes and it ends up in our rivers and streams and lakes. People are really concerned that it's going to kill the beneficial bacteria that we require for sewage treatment, and it's going to also harm the beneficial aquatic organisms in our natural environment.
Can this get into the air? What would happen if I breathed in nanosilver particles?
For this particular use, I would not worry about breathing it in. I would worry more about it ending up in our water supply, our drinking water supply, eventually, and also in our wild waters, depending on how widely we use it.
Because I've also heard, as Sam Luoma pointed out, it's being used in 280 different things, including food storage containers and subway handrails in Hong Kong. Why is it being used there?
I think that we have we have been taught in the last century, in fact, to avoid bacteria. Bacteria are bad. Bacteria are a cause of disease. And so I think the idea is, well, all of a sudden we can get rid of bacteria in almost everything. Silver will be a very major product in clothes, in the at least it's being proposed for that. And as I understand it, the fall line of clothes is going to include a number of silver products. But the question is, I mean, we have many bacteria on our skin, in fact. Most of them are there to prevent the pathogens from creating problems, or that's what their role is. So the question is, if you're going to, how healthy is it to universally or non-discriminately kill silver like this? That's one of the questions that we have to ask with regard to risks, and one that will be difficult to manage when we have so many products.
Well,
silver into the environment.
In the past, we were told that antibiotic soaps had a downside as well. So is this the same thing? But in the case of nanosilver, I don't know. I guess what's bothering me is the idea that we have these tiny little particles, microscopic particles out there. We're putting them in baby wipes, I understand. There's a Korean product that uses nanosilver in baby wipes called Nanover Wet Wipes. And I see this as going out in the environment and getting into my lungs, or am I just being paranoid?
No, I mean, really what this goes back to is sort of, you know, what's wrong with soap and water? Goodness gracious. This is a real, you know, Sam is right, this is a real paranoia against making a germ-free environment for ourselves. And what we forget is that a lot of those microbials, what we in one context might be germs, in another context, these are really important parts of a healthy life and our healthy ecosystems. And nanosilver released into our environment and released into our food and clothing and cosmetics and toothpaste even, is just crazy.
Wasn't there silver pollution in South San Francisco Bay in the 1980s?
Yes, we did a study. We've done a couple of different studies around places that discharged silver in the 80s before it was as tightly regulated as it is now by the sewer, or tightly controlled by the sewage treatment plants. And in both cases, we saw good evidence of toxicity to what you'd expect to be to respond to silver, and that's the invertebrate animals in the environment. Silver, one of the reasons silver is attractive is because it's not especially toxic to humans or to mammals,
right.
But it is a strong toxin to invertebrates. Now, the other question you brought up, I think, is important, Leonard. We don't really know what happens in terms of risk to particles in the nanosphere in this range, because particles take on new characters when they get down to the 1 to 20 nanometer range, as many of these silver particles are. And we don't know if the risks are the same for those nanoparticles as they are for silver. They could be less, they could be more. But there is some evidence, that some nanoparticles can penetrate into cells and into our body, as you said. There's still not very much known about that. There's one study that shows that the composition of those particles, a silver particle, is more toxic than a more innocuous particle like titanium oxide. But the big question is, what is the risk? These things are proliferating, and we really don't know much about it. So it's a tough problem for EPA, I think. And on the other hand, you know, if we just ban the particles, which would be something some people might suggest, we're taking a risk there in terms of losing some beneficial medical uses that could be very important. So it's a real tough question to deal with, but one we have to face as soon as we can.
Well, do we even know when we're using something that has employed nanotechnology? There are no labels on those shirts that use nanoparticles, are there?
This is the simplest thing. I think if we're going to start regulating this, and I think we have to, the first and simplest thing we have to do is require transparency. We have to require labeling. We also have to know something about the loads to the environment that come from these different products, and those are actually quite doable things. The research in terms of understanding the fate of the nanoparticles will take some time, but those two things could be done very soon. It is. I agree with you. This is problematic, not knowing where the nanoparticles are.
Is this the hot thing for manufacturers? Oh, gee, we can put nanoparticles into everything. We can use nanotechnology and promote it as the next big thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of promotion of this, but at the same time, the companies are also, some of them are hiding it, some of them are promoting it, some think it's a market advantage, some are worried about people becoming scared of the word nano. So what I really think it comes down to is exactly what Sam says. We need to have labeling of products, and we need to have government oversight so that consumers can be assured that there are some safety tests being done before they're finding it in their toothpaste or their cosmetics or their food wrapping.
What about that Samsung SilverCare machine? Does that have a sticker on it?
Well, it doesn't right now, and it's releasing nano silver into the water stream, and we know that that's not good.
Everybody seems to want to jump on the bandwagon, so we have it going into baby wipes, into storage containers, into washing machines. Is this a kind of a craze, people jumping on the craze because it's the next, as I asked earlier, Sam, the next big thing?
It does seem kind of that way, doesn't it? It seems like a kind of a boom mentality. It's an interesting dichotomy that people aren't saying what it is but are playing on this bactericidal attribute. It is a little difficult to understand.
And right now there are absolutely no regulations in place in this country? Or what about other countries?
Well, I work internationally, and I think everybody's confused as to how to regulate nanoparticles once they get into the environment. And I think one of the problems is that the way these things react, they're very hard to detect. We don't have good methodologies for detecting nanoparticles as the particle. We can detect silver, but we it's very hard to study these things, very hard to detect them. And thus, how do you regulate them? Do you use the old regulations? That's what the risk managers are presuming now. Yeah. But I think it's going to take a new approach to regulation, and also combining that with being smart about what we've learned thus far about toxins like silver. And also watching the environment. You know, we discovered the mistakes we've made in the past with DDT and things like that by observing when things go wrong in the environment. And I think it's really going to be important to keep our eye on what's happening around outfalls and around places, because these things are there. This is already on its way. The train's going down the track.
Well, you're in London now. Does the UK or the EU have they taken any positions on nanotechnology?
I just heard a person from the European Commission talk a couple of days ago, and they, like US EPA, think that the existing regulations are adequate to manage the risks from nanoparticles.
Well, but and at the same time, the Europeans have actually taken a much more precautionary approach in terms of talking about it and making recommendations. They've come up with something called the Nano Safe Code, which they're recommending that companies and corporations voluntarily adopt. At the same time, Sam's right, the EPA here is developing a voluntary code of conduct for corporations here, and I'll be next week at several meetings in Europe, including a meeting hosted by the European Commission that will discuss the health and safety aspects. But Sam makes a really good point, which is right now we don't really know what safe means for nanomaterials. So what NRDC, what my organization is recommending, is that we not use it in consumer products where it's untested or unsafe.
Do you have any places where you think nanotechnology has good applications?
Yeah, some that I think are really promising are some of the medical applications, which would be used in a very contained environment in limited uses and under expert supervision, for instance, as a cancer therapy or imaging device. Some of the other important uses are where it's nanoengineering as opposed to a nanoparticle, for instance, developing a water filtration system with nanoscale pores. Or openings, rather than a nanomaterial that might escape into the environment.
I understand that a field of nanoethics has sprung up.
I think from the scientific community's point of view, I think that that's something that we can contribute. That we need to start thinking about how we can help define the criteria that would help the regulatory agencies and the private sector figure out where the risks are in advance as they make products. I think the private sector has to be alert to this, too, because, you know, large or small corporations, especially even large corporations, don't want to make huge investments in these products and have them turn out to be something that's completely taken off the market or banned. And I think they are. I think a good example is the partnership that was created between DuPont and environmental defense to come up with some criteria as to how they would look at it, how they would evaluate new nanomaterial and new nanotechnologies and try to figure out whether they were worth proceeding with or whether the risks were too high.
Well, I would imagine that a company like DuPont would be concerned. After all, they've had problems with other products in the past, which can lead to major lawsuits.
Yep.
And scandals. So are there people out there who are, first of all, is there anyone in Congress who's talking about this?
Yeah, there's been a number of congressional informational type hearings, but right now Congress is really trying to catch up as fast as the rest of us. And again, we do have smart people working on this problem, so there's lots of, you know, smart minds, scientific and regulatory minds coming together to develop terminology and to develop standardized safety testing, but they need time to do that, and that's why, you know, we're recommending that we not use these in consumer products until some of that work has been done.
There's an article in the recent On Earth magazine published by the NRDC about the safety of nanosilver. It's called Our Silver-Coated Future, and we have a link to it on our show page at WNYC.org. Sam Luanwa, you wanted to add something?
No, that's fine.
Okay, well, I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Dr. Jennifer Sass, Senior Scientist in the National Resource Defense Council's Health and Environment Program, and Dr. Samuel Luanwa, Senior Research Scientist at the U.S. Geological Survey.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having us. ¶¶